It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Long dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Talked to Aaron Rodgers this week, reached out. I know you guys are friends. It's pretty well documented. Some people call it a bromance.
Oh, really? I don't call it that.
What do you call it?
Call what? My relationship with him?
Yeah.
It's just, we know each other. Yeah, we're friends.
Have you reached out this week?
No. No, we haven't.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good evening and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this Week 9 encounter of the 6-2 New England Patriots and the 3-3-1 Green Bay Packers. And as always, it is great to have you with us, and especially so for this matchup of two of the most famous franchises in sports.
Patriots! Go Patriots!
Gordon sprints in motion. Brady with a fake to him. Pitches it left for James White. To the 10, to the 5. A touch to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Steven, opening drive. Man, this place is going berserk right now.
Out of the eye, Devlin, the fullback, up in front of Cordero Patterson. Takes the hand up, and Brady runs up the middle, lowering the shoulders, driving into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
First guy to go to him on the sideline is Bill Belichick.
Takes the snap, he hands it to White, he runs it to the left side, he's in this time. Touchdown, Patriots! And they're back in the lead! Back are Gordon and Hogan, now Edelman in short motion. Brady screams,
lateral.
It's a lateral to Edelman, he's looking to throw. He throws it back to James White, left side of the field. He runs to the 35, 30, 25-20, 15-10, and he's tripped up, diving inside the 5! Rodgers and hand to Jones, he runs it to the left side, he fumbles, ball is loose, Patriots should have it! They got it, the Patriots take it over. Second and 10, Brady drops back, throws it down the left side, wide open, Gordon makes the catch! Slips a hit. Goodbye. 20-15-10. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, start the buses. What a Sunday night.
Patriots with an impressive win over Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, start the buses.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touchdown Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. First things first, Rich got in last night at 12:30 because his wife, Mary, ran the New York City Marathon. Our congratulations to Mary. She finished.
She did. She finished, and it was kind of shocking because she believes that she under-prepared for this. Like, she didn't, like, do the, you know, the typical schedule where you're supposed to run, like, 10 miles, then 13, and then up to 18. However, she finished, like, killer time. Like, she was, like, I think it was 5 hours and 40 minutes, which is, like, 13-minute miles, when she was like, this is shocking. I can't believe that I was able to do this. And, like, immediately, as soon as the adrenaline went down, she was like, ow, ow, all over my knees. Ah, like, we were walking through the airport last night. We got in, like, right after, like, a little before midnight, the plane landed. And, like, she's walking as if she's like the Crypt Keeper, like dragging her leg behind her. And I'm just like, oh, tomorrow morning is going to suck. I was like, just get ready. And, you know, she, when we got home, she was like, I just got to see what my feet look like. And she took it off and I'm like, oh yeah, goodness gracious, that nail's not supposed to be there. So, I mean, you just beat yourself. You beat yourself up so bad when you do these things. But it's funny. She talked to a couple of her friends and she said that who've run marathons, and they said the first time that they ran one, they thought that they had broken like both of their knees. And they said, and after a couple of days, it just goes away and you feel fine. And she goes, that's what it feels like. It feels like I've broken. She goes, she seemed perfectly normal. Like she could have run another like 20 miles when she was done with the marathon. And then as soon as that adrenaline came down, it ended up
killing
her.
Doesn't seem like the best thing in the world for you.
Well, but she did it, and which is awesome. This was her make-do, her do-over for what happened in Boston. And thanks to people from Michelob Ultra, because they're the ones who put her on her team. But what's crazy about this team is that they got a bunch of people from like around the country that were like these some inspirational stories. Like some of them you could just like enter to win because you drank their beer or whatever, but they went out and found a bunch of people who kind of had interesting stories. And I'm looking at some of these people and I'm thinking to myself, I can't bitch about anything. There was a like a blind guy who ran the marathon. Ooh. And he had like a I guess the way it works,
you have a guide. You see that at the Boston Marathon too.
You see, I don't think I've ever seen that at the Boston Marathon, yeah. And I know it's happened before, but I've never seen it in person. So this is the first time I actually got to talk to both of the people, and like he kept his hand like by his guide, and the two of them ran together. And there was a little person that ran it and killed it. Apparently, got like great time. He was like super fast. So I'm looking at all these like stories, and I'm like, what do I have to bitch about? Like this, it was pretty unbelievable what these guys all did. But there was no rain, no horrible weather like there was in Boston, and I'm just honestly glad to get the hell out of that city. I'm the more I go to New York, I used to love going to New York. Now it's just like it's a pain in the ass getting in and out of there.
I hate it there,
especially if you go to like JFK. Like, I mean, damn far away, that airport. Yeah. You got to do LaGuardia if you go, or you got to take the train. That's the only way to go. Everything else is a pain in the ass from Boston. But, so thanks to all the people who reached out. And the reason she did it, the whole reason she did it, was because the Michelob Ultra people gave her $10,700 for the 10.7 miles that she walked at the end of the, or not walked, that she started over after she was told by her doctors to stop running the marathon. They gave her $10,700 towards Dana-Farber. So that's the reason she did it. So that's thanks to those guys from Michelob Ultra for doing that for her. But the good news is I got to watch the entire game because we got to the airport and it was there, and then it was on the little screen in front of us, so we got to see that. So at least the game didn't suck. That is the good part about all of that.
All right, and even bigger news, we have our earliest Amy Lawrence call of all time.
Do you want to blow it here? Do you want to do it here, or do you want to do it later on?
Well, we can do it later on.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with it.
Because this is, from what I hear, this is pretty special.
All right, we can do it later.
Okay. You know what? Let's play it here.
I think I know.
Let's play it here. We can play it later on.
Yeah.
So let's play. Let's play it twice because this is.
I heard this in the car on the way in.
Who? Oh, it is. Oh, okay. Okay. So we have the person who did it also on the line. So let's go ahead and do this here. I was joking the other day that we had a 6:04 Sarge call. And I said, well, it just can't get any earlier than that. And to that, our listener said, no.
No, you issued the challenge. Said you issued the challenge.
The only way it could get earlier is if it was on the Amy Lawrence show. And so let's go to 4:50 this morning, shall we?
You know, with Belichick coaching him, I think it's a great addition, moving forward. But also I had another thought. I don't know if you're familiar with the Boston Sports Radio or not, but Mike Sarge Riley, I know you guys have got a guy leaving Isaac. You might want to recruit him. He's just awful, but maybe he could go over there and you can make him better.
Did you say he's awful, so you want to hand him off to me because he's awful?
I just think you might be able to make him better.
Yeah, nice. Nice way to twist that into a compliment, man. we're okay for now. Thank you. I don't know who he is. I'm sure he's not as bad as you think.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks, Nick. That was Nick's thought about the Patriots. I do not know who he is. I don't know if he's awful. He could be great. I do know that sports radio listeners are not always the best judge. Sometimes you bring some preconceived notions. Many people think I'm awful. It comes with the territory. It's after...
We got our first Sarge Sucks call at 4:50, a brand new record.
Gonna be tough to top.
You got to wake up earlier than 4:50.
Yeah.
Another challenge has been issued.
Someone's got to hear it.
Does it technically have to be after midnight to be earlier than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
So it's got to be sometime between midnight and 4:50.
Yeah, you got to beat it.
That's when you got. That's who's going to take the ride. I guess on line one is the guy who called in. That's what they're telling me. So.
All right. The Patriots last night. Certainly not perfection, but
oh my god, that's the best one of the year. That's the best one of the year. Without a doubt, the defense is the best that they've looked. To hold that offense to 17 points and the way that they played, that's the best game of the year, all around on both sides of the ball.
Offensively, you thought that was the best game of the year?
I think as a total win for the team, it's the best game of the year, without a doubt. Without a doubt, the fact that the defense played that well and the offense was still that good with Sony Michel gone and with Rob Gronkowski out, and they still made it work with scraps and pieces and players that are playing in the wrong position, yes, that was the best win of the year.
I tend to disagree.
What was a better win?
I'll have to go through my
I will say at least win. On defense. On offense, I'm trying to remember. On defense, to hold... all the injuries for the Packers were on defense last night.
Yes.
So I'm trying to... Patriots defensively, to hold Aaron Rodgers...
It was awesome.
They were able to flush... Rodgers made some plays. That's what he does. He scrambles out and makes plays on that touchdown pass.
Did you think Tom Brady looked good last night?
I thought Brady looked good at times. Not all the way through, though.
Yeah. Let me rephrase. It's the most impressive win of the year, without a doubt. With what they were able to do against that offense...
The Packers are a 500 team, though, Rich.
Yeah, the Packers aren't a great team.
Are you telling me that Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, that is a offense that...
Defensively, I'm just told you. I pretty much agree with you, but as far as complete win...
To use Cordarrelle Patterson as your premier running back and to have Josh Gordon be one of your best
weapons... It was only for a quarter. I mean, James White did come back.
Oh, understood,
but Cordarrelle Patterson didn't do much in the second half.
But you have one of your best...
It was a nice win, but as far as best overall all-around win, I'd have to go back
and look. Of the season?
Yes. Defensively, they looked really good. I mean, they were able to stop the Packers on fourth down at midfield when you'd figure Rodgers just go right back down the field and make it a one-score game. That was very nice to see. Rodgers didn't throw for 450 and four scores.
The Packers turned the ball over. They looked good defensively.
Yeah, but it was... Lawrence Guy made a play.
Yeah, that's it.
That at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
He did.
Defensively, I'm willing to agree with you, Rich, considering the firepower there and all the wide receivers were there for Green Bay. But I'm not sure about...
Brady didn't play
all the
well.
Way through.
But Brady the, didn't but play the, well.
But it doesn't matter because the offense made do with two of their best players out.
Well, I mean, the Packers...
He played well enough.
Yes, you certainly played well. And isn't that what it's all about anyway?
And they got to win, but I wasn't... You know, blown away by their performance last night.
Well, then again, what game have we been blown away by their performance this season? That's the problem. You see, every game we come back and we go,
well, it's
God,
usually
the
one way or another.
Sucked.
I was blown away. The offense was great against Kansas City.
Yeah, but the defense
sucked.
It's
great. I mean, they climbed out of a hole. They beat Chicago in Chicago.
Yeah, but that's Chicago.
No, the defense was bad.
Chicago's better than Green Bay.
Chicago is not a better offense. And by the way, they played worse defensively against Chicago.
They did. I'm not saying you're wrong about the defense, Rich. I'm just racking my brain here trying to think, okay, total complete game. The offense, Patriots offense struggled at times. Green Bay's defense is not a world beater.
No, Green Bay,
they struggle
Green Bay
at
does
times.
Not have a good defense. And Brady did not look, he had stretches where he was terrible. All right, we'll be back. We'll discuss the game.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Last night, what happened?
What happened last night is brought to you by the good people at Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. Well, I guess we finally know that Aaron Rodgers isn't the greatest of all time.
Gordon sprints in motion. Brady with a fake to him. Pitches it left for James White. To the 10, to the 5. Untouched. To the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots.
Statement. Opening drive. And man, his play place is going berserk right now.
Well, they didn't give him Gronk or Sony Michel, and Tom Brady's offense was still able to outscore Aaron Rodgers and the Patriots 31-17 win at Gillette. The Patriots are now 7-2. But how they did it last night is truly impressive. First off, the Patriots have officially turned another team's trash into their team's treasure.
Second and 10, Brady drops back, throws it down the left side, wide open. Gordon makes the catch, slips a hit. Goodbye. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, start the buses. Woo-hoo-hoo. What a Sunday night. Finally, the kid breaks through, and I said it, this could be his breakout game. 55-yard dagger. When you take chances and you try to close and you don't make the tackle on a 6'4", 240-pound receiver, you better have somebody back there because there ain't nobody catching.
Well, despite having a dislocated finger, Josh Gordon put up monster numbers yesterday. 5 catches, 130 yards, a touchdown, and one of the more ridiculous sideline catches that didn't even count. Josh Gordon is slowly becoming a best-case scenario realized for the New England Patriots after getting him off the Cleveland Browns scrap heap several weeks ago. Who knows? Maybe some team will pick up Hugh Jackson next year. They'll coach him right to the Super Bowl with the way things are working. Another strange way the Patriots impressed last night was their strange personnel choices. So you thought that whore Cordell or Patterson thing at running back last week was a joke, huh? Guess again.
Now out of the eye, Devlin, the fullback, up in front of Cordarrelle Patterson. He takes the handoff from Brady, runs up the middle, lowering his shoulders, driving into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Man, is David Andrews fired up. What a series. I mean, it's 5 straight carries, and he goes rumbling into the end zone, lowers the shoulder, and he just wants more.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Cordero looked pretty good last night.
He can't drop the ball if you hand it to him, I guess.
He carried the ball 11 times for 61 yards and a touchdown and looked explosive at moments, so much that I'd rather have him running back than a receiver from here on out. And here's a weird stat. The Patriots had the most rushing attempts by wide receivers in a game last night since Belichick did it with the Browns 25 years ago.
Okay.
That is a, I don't know who, that's a Sean Grandy-esque stat that was thrown out there.
Fantastic.
But I found it to be interesting. But most of the true credit should go to the defense, who played a great game against a very good offense.
Brady's... Snap to Rodgers, a hand to Jones. He runs it through the left side. He fumbles. Ball is loose. Patriots should have it. Aaron Jones carrying through the left side had the ball punched free. Several Patriots were there, and the officials now try to wade through the scrum.
They got it.
The Patriots have taken over on the Green Bay turnover.
This is something I don't know if we've been able to say most of the year, but the Patriots' defense looked really good last night. They held Aaron Rodgers to 17 points and scoreless for the last 26 minutes.
Yeah, the Green Bay screwed themselves. They had that roughing the kicker, and then they ended up with that fumble, which the Green Bay coaching staff said that was the game.
Yeah, the fumble was the game.
Yeah, the fumble
was it.
Yeah.
The roughing the kicker thing, I don't think, bothered them. As a matter of fact, I think the Patriots had to punt right after that.
Yeah, they did. They got nothing out of it.
No, the roughing the kicker kept the drive alive.
No, it did, but it turned it nothing. But then the Patriots went 3 and out on the next series.
John, but that would have put them with the ball in very good territory.
But they would have punted anyway.
Yeah, but the thing is that they screwed themselves. They would have gotten the ball back, and then the Patriots were allowed to milk some time off the clock.
It was a punt no matter what, though.
Time ticks in a game.
Okay.
They were able to run time off the clock.
All right. Well, on top of that, Rodgers seemed rushed all night, constant pressure forcing him to overload on those patented throwaways he's so prolific at. On top of that, Stephon Gilmore notched another good game against Davante Adams. He gave up only 40 total yards, but a lot of those are when the Patriots were playing in zone and Gilmore wasn't even the primary guy on him. I think Davante Adams had, over the past, 4 games, averaged like 130 yards or more.
And there was no Randall Cobb either. I mean, I found it amazing they were able to take both those guys away. I mean, Adams got his. He caught a touchdown pass, but he wasn't the dominant force he'd been the last month. And Randall Cobb was completely missing.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that. That is amazing. You had these rookie wideouts getting the ball for chunk plays down the field. Okay. I mean, you got to make the bad receivers beat you.
Yep.
So, I mean, the Patriots defense played really well at you.
But Stephon Gilmore's been like one guy this season who has been consistently good. Like the one part of the defense that has been a constant, you could say, is Stephon Gilmore.
Well, yeah, we said it for the last month. I mean, what opposing teams have to do is just don't throw it at Gilmore. And right. Usually they can move the ball down the field, but not last night.
Well, here is Devin McCourty afterwards on the win.
guys stay locked in. I think the older guys that have been here for a while know it comes down to playing good football. And we try to stay locked in on that. And I think in turn, we start rolling. We win a game, we win another game. And we know that's what it's about. You know, it's not about win, lose, and roller coaster. It's getting better each week. And I think that's what we've been able to do.
And here is Josh Gordon talking about popping his finger back into place the way someone tells you what they had for lunch.
I guess just like a freak accident, nothing too crazy. But after one of the slant routes, I think I just some pressure fell on it and it dislocated. So I popped it back into place a couple times throughout the game, the rest of the game. But it's fine though.
We're cool.
Nothing to see here.
Snapped back in there. Jeez. And everything's going to be okay. Cordarrelle Patterson every week seems to have a soundbite where he just likes to tell you how good he is. So here's Cordarrelle Patterson telling you how good he is.
I'm a playmaker. I mean, I just try to make plays when my numbers call. You know,
Jesus.
Like I say, last week, Josh McDaniel, he do a great job. You know, getting the playmakers the ball and putting it in hand.
Yeah, he's my
literally he had the ball handed to you, so you didn't screw up. Good for you. Congratulations.
Listen, he was good. This week you can go, all right, well, yeah, sure, you can say that, yeah. But it doesn't still.
I ran, and there were guys in front of me blocking, and I had holes to run through, and one thing you can say about me, if nothing else, I'm really, really fast.
No, the funniest is when he said that week where, I forget, was it against the Bears, where he barfed up the ball, yeah. And the Bears ended up scoring, and then he ended up having he ran it all the way back.
Yeah, it's break even. Good for you.
Right, but still, any game where you barf up the ball like that and it costs you a score, you can't say, you know.
I'm a playmaker.
You just can't do that.
You really can't.
He says it every game.
He does. He does. Every single week. It's kind of becoming somewhat enjoyable.
He's supposed to be the best kickoff returner in the league, and yet for some reason, teams still kick to him. Well, why is that, do you suppose? Because they just want to see a playmaker in action. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the defense, great last night. Offense, subpar at best. We still managed to put up 31. But I don't know if you guys noticed. I know my wife did, and she doesn't even like football. Chris Collinsworth refuses to say anything good about Brady, and he just kept pumping Rodgers' tires all night long. He wouldn't shut up.
I don't know about that. I'll disagree with two things there. First of all, the Chris Collinsworth thing, he says plenty nice about Brady. And even last night, I remember saying a few nice things about Brady. The second thing is to call 31 points subpar at best when you had so many different ways of scoring, and especially when you had even and another great thing that came back last night where it wasn't the dink and dunk. You had some pretty good chunk plays, which you haven't seen a lot of out of the Patriots. And you know what? Even the little trick plays seemed to work last night for the most part. And I know it's annoying when the trick plays don't work, but last night with the Edelman cat and the little flea
screen
flicker,
pass.
The screen pass and the flea flicker that James White had, I thought that they
Brady
to say that it was subpar is...
Brady was subpar last night.
Well, but the bar for Brady is so high, but they found other ways to win.
Against that defense, missing as many players as they were, they could have scored a lot more.
No, Brady didn't look...
So
Brady doesn't look
31
good last night.
Points is not enough. That's what you're saying?
I'm saying that Brady didn't look good last night.
Okay, well, you could say that, but the offense did. Like, I mean, the offense had a very good game last night. To say it was a subpar offense is just not true. They scored 31 points in many different ways that we haven't seen before, which I thought was nice. Especially with two of your best offensive players not playing yesterday, to be able to pull that off.
Well,
I don't know.
Like,
I could say
it's not like Gronkowski's been a huge factor on the offense.
Well, but you still have to cover him. He's still somebody that the defense has to concentrate on, no matter what. And Sony Michel has been a problem. He's been one of your better offensive players over the last several weeks before he got hurt. So, I mean, that is impressive what they did yesterday. Brady, you could say he was subpar. Now, that's fair. But the offense was not. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But I agree with that.
But you know who does
they,
not?
I mean, they had 430 yards of offense last night. Now, Fred, I understand where you're coming from. You just look at it. You watch it, and without looking at any of the numbers, like, oh, okay, a lot of three and outs. They didn't convert. I missed a lot of chances, and they had to score two touchdowns late to put the game away.
And Green Bay crapped the game away.
Green Bay, those last two drives were Patriots. They didn't have to do
no.
with Green Bay.
Where did they crap themselves?
Because they had the rough in the kicker, which allowed the Patriots to milk the clock.
What quarter was that in?
That was the third, wasn't it? I'd have to look.
Milking the clock in the third. I think the game was tied at that point.
The roughing the kicker thing, I don't think mattered.
I don't think that had anything to do with
it. It allowed them to milk the clock.
Right, it was four downs.
It wasn't part of the fourth quarter.
Game was tied.
It was a mistake that allowed them to milk the clock.
Okay, but that's not crapping the game away.
No, and then they fumbled that crapped the game
away. But that was the Patriots that forced the fumble.
I think that was more of a play made by the defense more than Jones fumbling.
Well, you're not...
It wasn't like a muffed punt. He knocked it out of his hands.
If you go back and if you sit in the Packers... locker room when they're looking at
fumble
tape.
Was a big key, but I think it's just the Patriots defense made the play. I don't think it was one of those things where it was an easy fumble. The guy didn't get touched and lost it. Oh my god!
You think when the Packers are watching film that they're going to just go, "Oh, hey man, it got knocked out of your hands."
No, the fumble was key, but it was a play by the defense, not the fact that Green Bay crapped themselves. I mean, the fumble created by the defense, not Green Bay. You know, got starstruck and oh my god, we're in Foxborough and crapped the game away. I don't think. That's the case at all.
All right. Well, those are two major mistakes.
Yeah, but the Patriots made mistakes
the
too. I mean,
the roughing the kicker is not, in the end, not a major mistake.
Okay.
Because the Patriots weren't able to do anything with it.
You know who doesn't want you to say anything bad about Tom Brady this morning? Julian Edelman.
I mean, Tom's goat. You know, Aaron's a phenomenal football player. I mean, he makes some unreal throws, but no one puts Tommy in a corner.
I was waiting for one of those.
He's trying pretty hard.
I saw somebody tweet last night after he threw that pass. Boy, it seems like his performance is really enhanced lately. Which, of course, is not fair.
Sean, go ahead.
So in the bottom right of the screen, where they have the downs on the screen, it switches over to SNF, Sunday Night Football. But when it switches over, it turns yellow after every play. So right before it says NSF, the logo turns yellow, so you think it's a flag. Every play. Honestly, there is nothing worse than that than daylight savings time.
Yes, that's true.
I thought a Sarge thing was coming after that.
Well, I agree with the daylight savings time. All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The line puts it back to Brady. It's a flea flicker. Stands in, throws it left. Pettiman's wide open. Left side 20 to the 15. And thrown out of bounds as he takes on Williams. Driven out at the Packer 10.
And James White just went to Brady, shook his hand, said, "Hey, bro, I'm sorry," because Brady hands James White the ball. He gets up inside, turns to pitch it, and he couldn't get it to him. And then he finally gets to him, and Brady still gets the ball to Edelman.
98.5, the Sports Hub, a giddy John Walker, giddy Scott Zolak last night. Alex, go ahead.
Oh, hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
Hey, just a couple points. First one, Brady sucked last night. He should have shredded that defense. It was depleted. Also, that touchdown to Gordon, I'm not convinced it wasn't for Edelman. I think he was way off. I agree with Brett.
That Edelman, as a matter of fact, I think he admitted that afterwards. Tom Brady said usually that play goes to Edelman. But Edelman, I think, I guess he ran the wrong route or whatever, and then there was Gordon. And then Gordon spins off that one guy and just takes off.
I'm a little concerned about Brady, to be honest with you.
My other point is Sam Darnold now leads the league in interceptions, so he's basically like the start of the NFL now, guys.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Creative. You got two people at once. That was pretty good.
Sam Darnold and Sarge.
Sam Darnold, no one to throw to.
Yeah.
He's got no one to throw to.
Who was he throwing to at the beginning of the season?
Nobody.
And he looked pretty good against Detroit, didn't he? You throw out that Detroit game. What are his numbers?
Not good.
They can't be good at all. I mean, numbers he has, you take the Detroit numbers out of there.
And he was missing Anua for two of those games.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you have fun throwing to Robbie Anderson and Jerome Kearse.
I'm just saying that I'd have to look, but if you throw out that Detroit game, I mean, that's got to be like Baker Mayfield-esque for him.
No,
even worse.
No, he's a 21-year-old kid with no one to throw to and no one to hand the ball to. Yeah, he's struggling mightily.
I did have one problem with one thing that happened yesterday during the game. And I don't care if you're a Patriots fan or you're a Packers fan. This is a little ridiculous.
We're tacking on 15, boys. Andrews got up under, baited him, and then it's a retaliatory hit to Andrews' face.
Our referee with a call. It's a personal foul on the Packers.
They never get the first guy, ever. Andrew's sneaky dirty.
Andrew's got a little hit on. It was like the that. Second.
Get that sicko change a little bit, you know what I mean?
Hit by Whitehead. The retaliation.
After the play was over, personal foul, unnecessary roughness number 35. Defense, 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
That is
35 has been disqualified.
Oh, man.
I
hadn't even heard Zolak's reaction yet, but I mean,
good for Scott. He's right.
That was like one of those medieval duel, like where they take the glove off and I shall slap you across the face. It was just like a tiny little slap across the chin. And I'm like, you're kicking a guy out for that?
You know why? And I couldn't believe I heard this. Apparently because he hit another guy in the head. Apparently that rule is not just for gameplay. That's the only reason you would eject a guy for that. Well, for slapping a guy in the helmet.
It's basically giving the guy CTE, I mean, by slapping
right.
him in the helmet.
Yeah, I mean, right. That's, I mean, it was a headshot. Technically, it was a headshot. Deliberate headshot, so they ejected him.
How will you function after this? I challenge you to a duel.
Right.
I mean, it was just the lamest little slap. And I'm like, what? Why? Of all the things that you can get kicked out of a game for, and the things that happen in piles where they're bending people's fingers the wrong way, and you see these people getting like real fights, why would you kick a guy out? And like, he was the one, I believe, who was the backup for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. So they were really screwed. So they you know, they were double empty in that spot.
And you saw the youth when Brady looked the two defensive backs off and leaving Josh Gordon all by himself down the sideline for that. Well, not the game-winning, but the put-away touchdown.
Sure. Well, here is Aaron Rodgers speaking after the game on Tom Brady's passing record there.
Yeah, I mean, if you play long enough and you have the sustained greatness that Tom has had, it's going to be a lot of records that go down. So he's had an incredible career, been the gold standard of quarterback for the better part of two decades, and yeah, he's a great player.
And by the way, my ears were not – I was not mishearing things all last week. People were really trying to put Aaron Rodgers in the greatest of all time
right.
conversation.
Well, no, you see, I don't know if it was people or
no,
just
like
the commercials.
NBC.
I mean, I don't think that was the chatter around here, but it was the build up to the game. They were trying to sell it that way.
See, that's I think so. I think the way they sold the game would make you think that Green Bay was, you know, a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is he's one of the greatest quarterbacks right now. I mean, he is, but of all time, they continued to try to spin that narrative.
No, it's
you're sitting there going, What are you doing?
No, it's Brady Montana and everyone else.
Truly, it's Brady Montana, everyone else. But I mean, everyone else has probably about seven or eight people between Montana and Aaron Rodgers.
No, we agreed on this during last week, didn't we? That Rodgers is certainly in the lower part of the top 10, but nowhere close to 1, 2, or 3.
No, but at some point, you just what do we? You say what are you doing here?
Well, if Michael Jordan hadn't done that commercial,
it was a good commercial.
But if Jordan hadn't done that commercial, I think the narrative would be a little different.
I think the narrative over the week was to pump this game up as Rodgers versus Brady.
Right.
When you look at it, though, Green Bay is not a very good team. John, go ahead. Who would not make the playoffs if it ended?
They almost beat the Rams the other day. I mean,
all right. What's going on, guys?
They don't have a good record. Go ahead, and they're terrible defense. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
My wife's called into the show a few times, big fan. I sat right in front of Zoe, and we turned around. We're like, hey, Zoe. And right before the broadcast, this maniac cracked like smelling salts and was snorting smelling salts before the broadcast.
What? You know what? I wouldn't doubt that for a second. I wouldn't doubt that because, you know,
it's not surprising, but he was a complete lunatic.
Yeah, he is.
He had to get hyped. He was. Jesus.
You know what? Because you see players on the sidelines doing that. I bet from his like NFL days, he just kept that
this
with him.
And not
just, like,
shocking to me in the least.
Not
I did
the
not
least.
Know that, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, I mean, if you go ahead.
He cracked them and snorted it and then, like, smashed it against the wall. I was like, did you just do smelling salts? You're dying laughing.
Well, yeah.
I don't even care if this guy's making a story.
He's
up.
Not making
awesome.
It
no,
up.
I guarantee you.
They're not illegal.
No, of course they're not.
And the players use them, so you think during his playing days he probably used it.
Well, I mean, that's a lot for nothing. I mean, in his playing days, I mean, he's just going to crack one so he can stand there?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they used
Gotta
a lot more of that back in the day.
Got to get ready. You never know when they might use them.
Right. You need to get that adrenaline rush.
Exactly.
Right away.
Have you guys ever done, like, sniff smelling salts before? Like, I don't even know what that does
I got
to
knocked
you.
Out when I was a kid in elementary school.
And they had to do smelling salts?
Oh, yeah. When the guy put his finger where the sun don't shine at the doctor, they gave me smelling salts to wake me up.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But I don't remember, like, what it smelled like.
I don't either. You just awake.
How'd you get knocked out, John?
I don't know. I was wrestling with a kid and I whacked my head on a concrete wall or something like that.
It was a clarinet accident.
That's right. Beaten senseless by a saxophonist.
You inserted it in the wrong hole, like went in like the ear, and it like
exactly
brain.
Right.
No, the
it trombone. Was a medieval torture device.
The trombone and the marching band came and nailed him in the head. Yeah.
They tried to do one of those syncopated things, you know?
Right. That's right. And I got my steps all wrong and we collided.
No, I've never smelled smelling salts before, but I mean, for something to be that strong to immediately wake you up from being knocked out,
yeah.
I can only imagine what it does to a Scott Zolak. I think we heard what it does to a Scott Zolak.
Isn't it like ammonia or something like that?
I think that's right. I have no idea what's in it, but
neither do I. But I think I don't know.
Can you buy that at like the pharmacy?
CVS?
Yeah. Can you like buy smelling salts without a prescription?
Don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like you would be able to.
I got to be honest. I wouldn't mind trying it just to see what it does.
Well.
I don't think it's a lasting thing. I think it's a quick little jolt.
That's just what we need. You with more energy.
No, I just want to see what it's like. Because if Scott Zolak, I mean, there are some games where he sounds a little more freaky than others. This one was one of them. Like he made some strange noises that I don't remember hearing that often on a couple of these
calls.
Big
game.
It was a big game. It was. And
primetime game.
Primetime game. Rodgers Brady. Sure.
Sure. You know, maybe he's getting a little tired, you know, that, as the night goes on and he needs a little smelling salt. He was hanging out with 50 Cent.
No, I don't think it was. He said the college that it happened before the game.
Yeah. To get him ready to go.
Well, I don't, but it's like no opportunity to get tired. You were saying it happened when he was getting tired during the broadcast.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's a nighttime game.
Oh, I see. He was tired because he was eating.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, outside of course, the game last night with the Packers, I saw one baseball writer complaining that they happen to have the ceremony for the Golden Glove Awards at the same time as Sunday Night Football, and that should never happen. And to that I said, where is it broadcast? Like, what network was the Golden Glove Awards on? Like, was it the MLB network?
Well, it's unfair with all the pomp and circumstance of giving away the Golden Glove Awards. Because I'm sure they got all the guys there that were nominees. I'm sure that everyone right after the season immediately wanted to hop on a plane.
Especially all the Red Sox. They were all in New York.
Dan just sent me a headline because you think it was ESPN. If ESPN cut away from NFL coverage, just like playing highlights to do the Golden Glove, then they're maniacs. Then I would fire everyone involved with programming.
It would have to be the MLB network or network or nothing.
I can see them reporting it, but to actually have, like, I mean, like, this is a ceremony. Who presents at this? Do they get, like, superstar celebrities out there?
Cuba Gooding Jr. is always available.
Right, yeah, well, I mean, I'd watch anything that he hosted after the NHL Awards, him going up there and screaming, but
ladies and gentlemen, it is Dustin Diamond.
A.K.A. Screech from Saved by the Bell and Saved by the Smell in his X-rated movie career. Well, Jackie Bradley Jr. won his first career Gold Glove, beating out Mike Trout, which many people thought may or may not happen. So there you go. He is one of the three Red Sox winners, second baseman Ian Kinsler. He was, of course, acquired at the non-waiver trade deadline, as we know. He won his second Gold Glove, while right fielder Mookie Betts won his third straight at the position. And Mitch Moreland and Andrew Benintendi, they lost out. So Matt Olson got the nod at first, while Alex Gordon ended up winning it for left field. So,
yeah, if Betts stays healthy, he's winning this thing 10 more times.
Sure. Jackie Bradley Jr. finally getting the nod. I know a lot of people have been poo-pooing his, even though he has many highlight catches.
Apparently, according to some people, not even the best defensive center fielder in his division. And there he is, Gold Glove winner.
I read something that he had a tremendous war.
Yep.
People were saying, how dare you attack Jackie Bradley Jr.? Mm. He's got a fantastic war.
Yeah.
Did you say you have a Jackie Bradley Jr. acceptance cut? Because I know a lot of the rest of the team was over at the game last night.
We do not have a Jackie Bradley Jr. acceptance
cut. Let's hear what he has to say.
What does this mean to you personally?
It means a whole lot. Like you said, I'm a player who definitely takes a lot of pride in my defense and being able to help the team on both sides of the ball. And like you said, I have a lot of great center fielders that I'm in competition with. You know, it's an honor to be even, you know, mentioning the same name
as those guys. So, you know, it's pretty unique. And
sounds like a madhouse at that presentation.
Now, was that even at a presentation, or is that just someone?
Where is it, Mike?
So this was from ESPN, and it looked like he was in like Miami, but it almost looked like he was behind a green screen because the water wasn't moving behind him. So I think he might have just been in a studio or something.
Yeah. So he was vacationing in the southern Florida area.
Yeah, or in front of a green screen in Florida.
Well, I'll tell you, this is when he was driving into the parade. He had Florida plates. I did notice that, so maybe they went and tracked him down. Some hungry young reporter wanted to get in on that.
So where was the broadcast? Like, where did they show it? Who's presenter? I need to find out all the details.
I don't think there's any way that there was any kind of ceremony. There's no way.
It was broadcast, that I do know, because I saw a baseball writer bitching about why would they do that opposite, because there's so many baseball fans who would rather watch that.
So there's probably, you know, envelope opening, but I'm going to guess that that there's not one major league player that would go out for that ceremony.
Would actually sit there in the audience and not get picked. It's like, man, I came out here and I didn't even win.
No, that's one of the ones where they got to tell you who won first.
Right, right, just to get you there.
Yeah, and then
you got to act surprised.
Right, yeah. I mean, these guys make $100 million. I don't think that I'm flying to, you know, Secaucus. To go get on a stupid TV show.
I know that Adam Jones is very big on the Jackie Bradley Jr. isn't as good as everyone says he is bandwagon. He's kind of leading that train, and he tweeted something last night that was pretty funny, along the lines of, in a down year and everyone was hurt, of course he ended up winning and blah, 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 blah. So there you go. And everyone, of course, tweeted him yesterday giving him crap for Jackie Bradley Jr. winning the Golden Glove. Because that was his whole thing. It's like, oh, if he's so good, how come he's never won a Golden Glove?
There it is.
And the Vulture just kept on squawking last night.
Of course he did. Yeah. He was unhappy with the results.
Did not like that.
Still smarting from the Red Sox World Series win. That still hurts a little bit.
He said, all it took for JBJ to win the Gold Glove is for one guy to get hurt, Pilar to have a down year, Kane to switch leagues, and for Martin to basically die. Congrats, I guess. That was his tweet.
You left out Trout, right? Didn't mention Trout.
Yeah, Trout's not on there. So.
Trout's not on there. Yeah. Well, in fairness, you know.
Oh, somebody watched the Golden Gloves last night.
Oh, good.
I need to find out. The Golden Gloves.
Might as well be. Randy, go ahead.
Yeah, I switched in between commercials of a football game. It was Kyle Rabbit sitting behind a desk. Looked like he had a blue screen behind him, and he was he named the three nominees, and there's nobody else in the studio, and it was pretty boring, but I wanted to see how many red.
Why would ESPN waste any money on anything to sit next to Kyle Rabbit?
ESPN wallet. I'm sorry.
It was ESPN.
Yeah, it was. And it's just Rabbit just sitting there, just announcing the names, and then you got one or two players. Well, that sounds about right.
All the players were in front of blue screens too. They were all over the place.
Yeah, there's no way you're getting them in a room now. Who was the writer who bitched about that?
I think it was Peter Abraham. I think it was Peter Abraham.
He's got a lot of problems right now. He's mad at everybody.
Is he?
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's not happy.
No.
No.
Very mad.
Last couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He somehow personalized this Red Sox championship win, and it's now on a going nuts about how dumb everyone is and how no one here appreciates anything.
Here's what he put: "But slick move by the Gold Glove people going up against the Packers Patriots on a Sunday night should be boffo ratings. Great way to promote the award."
Yeah, Pete. News for you: that wouldn't do well against Partridge Family Rewards. It's like, take a step back. Like, I know it's your career and your life. Sometimes you got to take a step back. Realize that under any circumstances, no one cares. Daddy, can I watch the Golden Glove Awards?
This is Trout's year.
Yeah.
This is the one he finally gets.
This is the one.
He's the Susan Lucci of the Golden Glove Awards.
All right. Troy Brown are going to join us in studio for the next hour.